Romans chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands into a disobedient and gainsaying people. Lord, we sure do thank you again for the opportunity that we have to be here this evening. Lord, we thank you for the word of God that gives us direction and salvation. Lord, I pray that you'll help us as we try to preach this evening. Help us just to get ourselves out of the way. Lord, I pray that you'll bring to remembrance, Lord, the things that we've studied down through the years, down through the times. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to say what needs to be said tonight, and it will leave alone the things that don't need to be said. Lord, and I pray that your will be done. Bless this service this evening. Lord, I pray for that one that's here lost. Lord, surely in this great host of people, there's someone here that soul is in the balance, God, and I pray that you'll touch that heart. Draw them to you this evening. Lord, save them by your grace. Lord, and we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for all that you do and all that you accomplish. In Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. You can be seated. As I thought, and I told the church this morning, I had two or three messages on my heart today, and this was one of them. And, you know, you always want to preach the right message at the right time. And I feel like this is what the Lord would have us to preach on this evening. We're coming to baptize these two that have trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Emily has never made a profession. She's come that time. She's been inquiring. And they called on the phone the other night, and we prayed with her, and she said she trusted Christ as her Savior. On the other hand, Carly has been in church all of her life. She made a profession back yonder as a young lady, and she didn't have no peace, no satisfaction. And she'd been doubting and wrestling with that thing. But then on last Sunday night, something wonderful happened in her life. The Holy Ghost enlightened her. She got over that fear, that pride of worrying about what people would think about her. And we prayed back there in the office, and she received Christ as her Savior. The best thing that could have ever happened to her, and the best thing that can ever happen to Emily. And if they'll yield their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, they can have a happy life. You know, Paul said here in chapter 10, verse 1, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." You know, that's my heart's desire and prayer tonight, that if you're here and you've never been saved, hey, that this might be the night that you'll come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because I'm going to tell you, the most important thing in life is not having lands and having houses and having cars, having nice clothes and being popular at school or wherever you might be at work. Hey, but the most important thing this evening is what you do with Christ and what you do with the grace of God that He's given us, that He's extending in this day and hour in which we live in. And I want to preach this night, for the Lord being my helper, on just the simple subject of God's simple plan of salvation. I hope I can present it to you tonight with clarity, where that a child can understand. The Bible says, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." I'm glad that God in His sovereignty and His foreknowledge, He looked down through the time before He ever put Adam and Eve there and created them in the Garden of Eden, before He ever spoke this mud ball that we call earth into existence, He already had devised a plan that lost humanity, that those that were lost in their sin, that were sinners, could be saved in simplicity. And the gospel is simple this evening. It's simple enough, hey, that any individual is going to be without excuse one of these days. It's so simple that some people stumble over it. Man wants to do something in his own self to get to God. He wants to do something that he thinks that he can earn salvation. But friend, let me tell you this evening, hey, there's nothing that you can do that can earn you salvation, that it can earn you the forgiveness of sin, hey, that can get you to heaven. Contrary, and I say this many times, contrary to what this world thinks, all roads don't lead to heaven. There's one way this evening, and Jesus Christ is that way. He said over there in John 14 and verse 6, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father except He comes by me." And let me say tonight, this is by way of introduction this evening, hey, that the devil's goal tonight is to try to keep you from knowing the truth about salvation. He'll try to hinder you from being saved tonight by deception, by distorting and doubting God's plan of salvation. He'll try to keep you from getting saved. First of all, then after you get saved, he'll try to cause you to doubt that you ever got saved. Let me say this evening, there's two or three things. Never base your salvation on others' experience. Everybody gets saved the same way, hey, but everybody has a different experience. But can I say this evening, the way you're going to get saved, you're going to get saved by getting the facts first. The facts that Jesus died and was buried and resurrected again the third day, and that simply by taking your place as a sinner and trusting Him and receiving Him for the forgiveness of sins this evening, that's the only way that you're going to get saved. Never base your salvation on someone else's experience. I mean, we all have different experiences. You know, God deals with us in different ways. I was a church member on my way to hell. I was a preacher's son. I was a pastor's son. But over yonder on Washington Street one night about 10, 11 o'clock, hey, through the providence of God, I believe with all my heart that God was working in my heart to get me in the position, in the place where I'd go to an August meeting where an old-fashioned preacher was preaching and where the Holy Ghost could deal with my heart, hey, where I could empty myself of myself and the profession that I had made and that I was holding on to, and work in my heart and save me by His grace. And let me say, I've been saved ever since. I've not lost it. I ain't planning on losing it. I tell everybody, I got two things happened that week at that August meeting that God, through the providence, worked in my heart over on Washington Street. He got me to the place where He could speak to my heart, first of all, about salvation. And then He got me to the place where I could see the lady that was going to be my wife. It was a 15-year-old girl. God put us together there at Pond Fort Baptist Church. And I didn't even know what was going on. Can you imagine that? Hey, through His foreknowledge, He knew, and I believe He had a wife for me, and He had me lined up there to go to that August meeting. She'd been there the whole time that I'd ever been there, but I never really paid no attention to her. Hey, but that night, on Friday night of that meeting, the Holy Ghost of God worked in my heart, and He did something in my life that I've never got away from. He gave me my salvation, and He gave me my wife. Amen. Hey, He gave me my wife. We, Lord willing, August the 4th, we'll be married 43 years. Can you imagine that? And I haven't lost her, and I haven't lost my salvation, and I'm not expecting to lose neither one of them, because I'm trusting Jesus as my safeguard to keep my marriage together, and I'm trusting Jesus as my safeguard to keep my salvation. Paul said over there in the book of Timothy, he said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I'm not holding on, young ladies. I'm not holding out. I'm trusting to Jesus and the finished work of Calvary that He did back under some 2,000 years ago. And I'm going to tell you, if you get to heaven, you'll come through Jesus or you're not going. Hey, I feel like preaching tonight. Hey, I had butterflies when I first got up here. Now they're flying in formation. But we see the devil, he'll try to keep you from getting saved. And don't never base your salvation on others' experience. Just because you didn't get saved like somebody else, that don't mean you didn't get saved. As long as you trust in Jesus, as long as you put your faith in Him and accepted Him in the free pardon of sin, it don't matter what somebody else's experience was. Then don't base your salvation on your emotions. That's what the devil uses a lot of times. That's what's happened to a lot of people. They have a little emotional experience. And that's probably what happened to me when I was a young boy there at Timbridge Baptist Church. I've always been tenderhearted. I'll cry. You know, I'm not ashamed to cry. I'm glad God gave me some tears. I'm glad He gave me a soft heart, Miss Sarah. And I believe I had a little emotional experience. Not to say that the gospel wasn't preached there in that meeting, but my cousin got over there and he began to witness to me, and there's a couple more preachers that got around me, and I believe they got me sort of under conviction themselves, and I got down the altar and I did. Miss Ethel Riles prayed with me, and I don't remember a whole lot about what I did, what I said, but you know, I got up and said I got saved. Went through my teenage years. They carried me down there, my dad carried me down there and dunked me in Flat Shoals there at Gillsville. I didn't get baptized, because you got to be saved to get baptized. Can I say baptism, what we're fixing to experience tonight and see these two young ladies go down into that watery grave, that's not going to save them. That ain't what saved them. Carly, you got saved back there in that Sunday school room the other night by praying and trusting Jesus and receiving Him as your personal Savior. And Emily, she got saved at home the other night because she trusted and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. This matter of salvation is serious. Don't never base your salvation on the experience of others, and don't base your salvation on your emotions, because the devil can give you a feeling. That's right. Hey, everything that God does, the devil counterfeits. There's a lot of lost church members across this land tonight. Hey, that's made a little old profession, that's went down and been baptized, and yet they're still lost in their sin because the Holy Ghost has never worked grace in their heart. He's never taken up a abode in their life, and He's never changed their life. I'm going to tell you, if you get saved, you'll be changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. And if you get saved, He'll change your life. I don't care if you're 6 or 70, you know. Hey, God's going to work in your life. There's going to be a change in your life. When something big as God moves in your heart, there's going to be a change. So don't ever base your salvation on the experience of others, and don't base your salvation on your emotions. Because we are emotional creatures. And then never base your salvation on exercise, the things that you do. Hey, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved, through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A lot of people want to do something to get to heaven. And you know, we have been saved, and we've been saved unto good works, but we're not saved by good works. Anybody that gets saved, hey, they're going to be some fruit in their life. Some's going to bear 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. But there's going to be fruit. But never base your salvation on what you do. I'm not basing my salvation on preaching here at Open Door Baptist Church or anywhere else. There's a lot of preachers that have preached for years, and later on in life they get saved. John Charles Wesley, great preacher of the Methodist Church back yonder, they preached for several years. One of them did, maybe both of them, before they ever had a salvation experience, before the Holy Ghost ever awakened them. And if men like that are living holy lives and preaching the Word of God, if God deals with their heart and they get saved after, you can't tell me that a lot of these folks in churches that we think backslid, their problem, they just never have slid forward. They never have been born again. Because I'm going to tell you, when Jesus comes into your heart, you can't go to heaven walking toward hell. We've been resurrected from the dead. The Bible says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." You can't get nobody that's dead to get up out of their casket. The same way with a person that's never been saved, never been born again, hey, they're dead. They're spiritually dead. So never base your salvation on the exercise, the things that you do. Salvation can be based on one thing, and one thing only, and that's on the Word of God. Verse 8 there says, "But what saith it? The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart," that is, the Word of faith which we preach. And then verse 17, the Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." 1 Peter 1 in verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible Word of God." I'm going to tell you, you got to hear the Word of God. You got to hear that you're a sinner, that you're hell deserving, that you're going to hell if you don't trust Jesus as your Savior, and then you got to act upon what the Bible tells you to do. And that's what I want to look at. Just a few things this evening, and then we'll proceed with the baptism service. Number one, there's the plan of salvation there in verse 9. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, we see the plan is presented here. It's a simple plan, but it's a serious plan. It's not only the plan is presented, but the plan is personal. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thine heart. It's an individual matter this evening. Hey, mom and daddy can't do it for you. Wife can't do it for you. Husband can't do it for you. You're going to have to act on the plan of God, what God has said in His Word, how to get saved, and you're going to have to personally respond to that, and you're going to have to trust Jesus as your personal Savior. So we see the plan is presented, the plan is personal. Then we see, number three, the plan is practical. Confess and believe. We complicate salvation a lot of times. Did you know that? We as Baptists complicate salvation. We say, well, if you didn't do this, if you didn't do that, if you didn't cry, if you didn't do it like I did it, then you got saved. There's a lot of preachers think if somebody didn't get saved under their ministry, they're probably not saved. I don't believe that. We don't get saved because of somebody's ministry, except for the fact that they're preaching the gospel. As long as we're presenting the gospel, it's simple. It's simple enough that a little 5 or 6 year old can be saved. Now that 5 or 6 year old, they've got to know some things. You've got to know some things about this plain, simple plan of salvation. Number one, you've got to know that you're a sinner. How are you going to know that? The Bible says in John 6:44, it said, "No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him." There's conviction. That's the Holy Ghost speaking to your heart and showing to you that you're a sinner, that you're going to hell if you don't trust Jesus as your personal Savior. Hey, that's coming to the realization that you are a sinner and that you need to call on God. But it's more than that. It is that word draw is a strong Greek word that means to pull with force. I can remember getting under conviction as a teenager. Man, I'd get under conviction at those meetings down there at Pond Fort, and I'd be scared to drive home. I'd go through them dirt roads, and I was afraid I was going to have an accident, and I was going to die and go to hell. And back then, if I'd have died, if I'd had a car wreck, or if I'd have died some other tragic death or anything, Everybody would have thought I was in heaven because I'd made a little profession. I'd been dunked. I'd went through all the rituals of baptism, yet I was lost in my sins. And I was honest to a certain extent about it. I never had no peace. I always doubted and always wondered. I always wrestled with that. Well, did I do it right? Did I really call on the name of Jesus? I've told this here at the church a lot of times. Brother Edgar Thomas, great man of God that used to preach at Faith Baptist Church in Gainesville for years and years, he said he was just sitting out on the porch of one of them little mill village houses over yonder in New Holland. God, the Holy Ghost, had been dealing with him and working in his heart. Said he just looked up in heaven and trusted Jesus with the heart. Man believeth and rises with the mouth, confessions made unto salvation. Hey, God wants us to confess Him. It's not so much for God as it is for us and for others, you know. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father which is in heaven. Hey, we ought not never be ashamed to confess Jesus Christ to this world and to people. We ought not be ashamed of that. I mean, God has done something. He's wrought something wonderful in our hearts when He does that work of grace. When He's opened your heart to the gospel, He's did something wonderful. You know, He's been in opening heart business for a long time. I had never thought about that till just then. Hey, He performed open hearts before the doctors ever got a hold of that. He's been opening hearts. He's been opening hearts since back there in the book of Acts. And He opened others in the Old Testament. He opened their heart too. But we do know and read over there where Paul went over there to Philippi, I believe it was, and he went down by the river where prayer was wont to be made, the Bible said, and he opened the heart of Lydia, a seller of purple. She was down there. She was seeking God. She was looking for something. Can I say, if you're looking for God, if you're seeking for Him, He'll save you. He'll work in your heart. You saved, young man? You know you're going to heaven one of these days? God bless you. I believe that. Why do you believe it? Because He told me He did. And until we get to that point and place in our life, we're really willing to take our place as a sinner, we're not going to get saved. Amen. You remember I said just a minute ago, the most important thing in your life is to trust Jesus as your Savior. Hey, don't go through life thinking that you're going to put Jesus off and when you get older out there. I'm going to tell you, the older you get, the harder it is.
Right.
The harder the heart gets a lot of times. Now, Debbie's dad, he got saved at 62 years old. They'd been praying for him for years and years there at Pond Fort Baptist Church. Her mom and her was going to church there as she was a teenager. She got saved under my dad's ministry there, and Grady Reed was preaching, an old-fashioned preacher that lived down here at South Hall. He was preaching revival, I believe it was, and my wife got saved as a young girl. Her daddy wasn't saved. He was a bootlegger. He was a gambler. Him and some of the bigwigs down at Jefferson, they'd meet up in his pump house on Saturday nights and Sundays, and they'd play poker. He was real big into politics, but yet he was lost. He was a good man. He'd give his shirt off his back, but he didn't know Jesus. And they got to praying for L.J. Hollis, 62 years old. One Saturday night, they was having a singing, and he just got ready out of the blues. They said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to singing with y'all tonight." He went that Saturday evening to that singing. He got up Sunday morning, Brother Calvin, got ready again. They said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to church." He went that Sunday morning, he went down to an altar. He got up, he didn't get satisfied. He went back that night, and you know what happened? L.J. Hollis got gloriously saved. He gloriously repented of his sins and trusted Jesus as his personal Savior. He asked my daddy, he come to my daddy and he told him, he said, "You know, I got a liquor debt I owe a man over yonder." He said, "Do you think I ought to pay it?" And daddy said, "If you feel like you need to pay it, you know, deal with it." And he went, and you know, that man had gotten saved. And he told him what happened to him. You know, that's a sign of repentance. I mean, he wanted to make things right. Even though he'd made that debt back yonder as a lost man. There's a lot of people today that's saved making debts and won't pay their debts. It ain't right. But L.J. got saved. He never wobbled on the axle after that. He was a new creature in Christ, friend. He told them to not walk across his yard with no clothes on no more, with shorts or no shirts on. He told them boys, he said, don't you come across my yard, you put a shirt on. He told his daughter, said, don't you go come across my yard or come to my house with your shorts on. He was a gambler. You know what happened? You know what the difference was? He got born again. When Jesus comes in, hey, that old man's got to flee. There's a change of attitude. He went to church as long as he could. He was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. He was there. Jesus, the simple plan of salvation. I'm going to tell you, it'll change your life. It'll change your heart. It'll give you a new outlook on life. It'll give you new desires in your heart and in your life. The plan is practical. Confess and believe. Confess you're a sinner. Romans 3, verse 10 and 23. Bible says, for there's none righteous, no, not one. And then all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Confess that you're guilty. Take your place as a sinner. You've got to admit, Lord, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. I need you to save me, Lord. I like that old song, I'm glad I got lost so I can get found. Did you know you got to get lost before you can get saved? This mental ascent of Christ, you got to have a heart change. He's got to come into your heart. I like this, and I've used this a lot of times, and I thought about it this evening. I looked it up. A.W. Tozer, a Christian Alliance preacher, now he knew God. He said, just as soon as the psychologist can explain what happens to a Christian believer, that believer has been unfrocked, or he's been unclothed from what's taking place in his life. Just the moment that a man's experience in Christ can be broken down and explained by the psychologist, we have a church member on our hands and not a Christian. For that which happens in the new birth can never be explained by psychologists or psychiatrists. He can only stand off respectfully and say, behold, the works of the Lord. He never can explain it. You can't explain it. Hey, if you've been saved, I don't care how many years, you just can't explain what happened in your life except that Jesus took over. That He came into your heart. Well, see, there's the plan of salvation. There's the promise of salvation in verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a promise from the Word of God. Do you believe this Bible's true? Hey, do you believe that God is holy? That He's righteous? Well, Jonah in chapter 2, verse 9, when he got... when the Lord dealt with him, he says, salvation is of the Lord. Can I say that salvation is still of the Lord? There's nothing that you can do except repent and believe and trust Jesus as your Savior. You just receive it. I mean, you can't explain it. We don't have to. We just have to believe it. You don't have to beg or barter with God. All you have to do is believe and trust Him. Amen. Not only you just have to receive it, you just have to rest in it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You rely on it. Every time you're tempted to doubt it, just trust Jesus. The Bible talks about it's impossible for God to lie. There's the process of salvation, verse 10. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God wants your heart this evening. He wants to hear it. He wants you to confess that you know Him, that you need Him. But there's the process as He wants your heart For with the heart man believeth to righteousness. Then there's the proof of salvation in verse 10. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I mean, you got to do what the Bible says. You got to confess Him. The proof is what the Scripture says. We base our salvation on the Word of God. We don't base it on our feelings. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Do you know there's some things that's impossible for God to do, and lying is one of them? Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 says it's impossible for God to lie. The proof is always what the sinner said, hey, that he's not ashamed, that he's trusted Jesus, he's received Jesus as his Savior, and he's confessed Him before men and confessed himself to God. There's the power of salvation. Verse 11, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. The power of salvation. It doesn't respect people. It don't respect who you are. Verse 11 said, for the Scripture said, whosoever. That whosoever is all inclusive. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever. Hey, He didn't die for just a select few. He died for the whole world, friend.
That's right.
And all those that will receive Him, He'll save them. He didn't predestinate some people to go to heaven and some go to hell, contrary to what some people teach. Those whosoever wills are the elect, and those whosoever wants are the non-elect. We don't know who they are. God does. There's the people of salvation. Verse 13, again, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here this evening, you're included. Whosoever means anyone. Whosoever means all men. Then there's the proclamation of salvation, verses 14 and 15. The Bible said, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Let me say, there's the proclamation of salvation. We've been commissioned by God Himself to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The Bible says, for by the foolishness of preaching, it pleased God to save them that believe. So it takes number one, it takes preaching. I mean, God is pleased with preaching this evening. Some of you probably think, hey man, what are you doing up there preaching, hollering, screaming about salvation? I'm doing what God told me to. I'm proclaiming grace this evening. I'm proclaiming the simple plan of salvation that God has commissioned us to proclaim in this lost, God-denying world today. Hey, we've got so educated today that it's hard for people to believe that just simply believing and receiving Christ as their Savior can change their life. There's a lot of people that are struggling in areas of their life when Jesus is the answer. Just like I preached this morning, Jesus is my safeguard. He's my safeguard against the distress that this world brings. He's my safeguard against the debt that I get myself into. And He's my safeguard against discontentment. You know, this world is discontented. They're looking for something. They're looking for some political president that can deliver us from this mess that we're in. Can I say there's no president going to deliver us from this mess that we're in? It's only Jesus. And one of these days, He's coming back. He's coming back in the clouds. And until He comes, there's the proclamation of salvation that's going to take place. We're just going to keep preaching. We're just going to keep proclaiming. We're just going to keep telling people that there's a Savior that loved them, that came down to this earth, that God was manifested in the flesh. He took on a robe of flesh and come to this world. He became sin, who knew no sin, that you and I might be made the righteousness of God through Him. Just by simply believing.
Yes, sir.
That old story, that gospel, that good news, that Jesus has died, was buried, and resurrected again the third day. Can I say that He's alive this morning, this evening? He's alive and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And one of these days, God's going to say, son, go get your bride. Are you a part of that bride this evening? You know that if Jesus come tonight, before we get out of here, that you're going to heaven? If you're not, if you don't, you're a candidate to get saved this evening. If the Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart and you feel that tug this evening in your heart, you can get saved. You can get saved. Paul said over there, today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart as they did in the day of provocation. There in the wilderness when they roamed around there. They hardened their heart against God. God said, I'll carry you into the Canaan land. But they hardened their heart. And there's a lot of people that's hardening their heart this evening against salvation. It takes preaching. It takes hearing. Verse 14. He said, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? Have you ever heard the voice of God this evening? Has the Holy Ghost ever spoke to your heart and told you that you were lost? Do you know 100% sure that there's been a place and time in your life where the Holy Ghost convicted you and He wooed you and you took your place as a sinner and asked Him to come into your heart? It takes preaching, it takes hearing, it takes believing. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? That He would have come to this earth and He would have bled and died if there hadn't been but one individual, and that was you. He was willing to leave the portals of glory and all the riches that He had with His Father, come down here and put on a robe of flesh to take my place and your place, and He'd have done it if it had just been you. Then there's the putting off salvation. Verse 16. The Bible says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Hey, have you ever obeyed the gospel this evening? It's sad that we live in a country. We live in the Bible Belt, you know that? All these southern states around through here. You get to riding and you can find a Baptist church on every corner. There's a Baptist church on every corner. Where this young man come from, they're not that. They don't have that. I know some guys that's over there in Egypt, and they're preaching. They're getting the gospel to those people. It's a great responsibility. But you know, we're in the Bible Belt, and we have got so gospel hard, and there's people that's saved today that won't even go to the house of God. And they're probably saved. It's important to go to the house of God. It's important to be among believers. You need that encouragement. If you're here tonight and you're saved, hey, you need to be in church somewhere. Yes, sir. The first step of obedience after a person gets saved, you don't have to pray about getting baptized. Right. Oh, no. That's a command. That's the first step of obedience, is to receive, after you receive Jesus, is to follow Him in believer's baptism. That identifies you with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. It don't save you no more, but it identifies you. And we live in the Bible Belt here, and people have gotten so gospel hard. That's why, Brother Melvin, they won't take your tracts.
Right.
They've seen other believers that won't live for Jesus. Hey, they say they profess Christ, but then in works they deny Him. There's a lot of believers that's bringing reproach and shame upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He'll change your appetite. I believe He'll get the beer out of the refrigerator. I believe He'll get the cuss out of your mouth. I believe He'll put you on a different path. Because I know what happened to me. And I'm not perfect. We always say that. But we ought to strive for perfection. We ought to strive to be what Jesus wants us to be. Did you know when predestination sets in your life, when you trust Jesus as your Savior and you get saved, that that moment God has predestinated you to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? The Bible talks about, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth it not, because it knew Him not. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We'll see Him and we'll be like Him. He He's going to transform us. And He's trying to work on us here. And there's lost people all around. Folk, if you're saved, there's going to be blood on our hands one of these days. When we stand at that great white throne judgment, and those sinners, death and hell, are brought up, and we stand there and people come by that we lived around and we didn't witness to them, we didn't tell them about Jesus, I believe they're going to pass by there and they're going to look at us, they're going to say, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you live like a Christian before me? We're so full of the world." And sinners died. We got the greatest message, the simple plan of salvation that there is. We got life's answers to problems, how to deal with problems. Now, I'm not saying if you're saved, you ain't going to never have no problems, because we know that's not true, but we'll know how to deal with those problems. Hey, we can deal with them better if we're walking with Jesus. You say, "I thought you was preaching on salvation." I am. I'm preaching on simple plan of salvation. I'm preaching on what will happen when we get saved. We trust Jesus too. Most important thing in kids' lives is not where they're going to college. And I think getting an education today is important. That's not the most important thing. Right. The most important thing is, what are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to reject Him? Or are you going to receive Him? It'd be a good night to get saved. Hey, if you're here and you're saved and you're not right with God, it'd be a good night to get right with God. Amen. It'd be good to get right back into battle again. Someone is watching you, saved person. And if you're here lost tonight, today is the time for you to get in. Come on, Mrs. Sarah. I believe that's the message. God's simple plan of salvation. It's so easy to get saved tonight. Amen. You know, you can tell when you can tell when people ain't never heard preaching like this. They look at you a little funny. Hey, I've grown up on this. You ought to hear some of them hackers. They get to preaching. They preach hell hot and heaven sweet. Let's all stand. If God's dealing with your heart tonight, hey, I'd cry out to God and tell Him, say, "Lord, save me.